Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For over a decade, since the Oklahoma Historical Society opened their Oklahoma History Center in Oklahoma City, the group's executive director, Bob Blackburn, has talked about the idea of a museum celebrating Oklahoma's artistic and cultural artists and legacies here in Tulsa. In brief, a museum celebrating the state's contributions to American popular culture. Yesterday, OK Pop, as the museum concept has come to be known, announced their architectural renderings, vision, and timeline for breaking ground and opening the museum. The museum site, located across Main Street from the historic Kane's Ballroom, will draw on the red brick of the original buildings of the area, along with bright colors like the sequins on a country performer's costume, and a street front design to make the museum a part of the neighborhood and the music scene. Groundbreaking will be this fall, with completion in late 2020. I'm joined by Jeff Moore, the executive director of the OK Pop Museum. He joins us to talk about the vision of the museum and how it would add to the cultural fabric of both the city and the Tulsa Arts District. Jeff Moore, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rich, for having me. It's been great.
It's been a long road.
Absolutely. 10 years, and it's an exciting moment to be able to share what the museum's going to look like with everyone.
Well, I remember when Bob Blackburn started talking about this over a decade ago.
Yeah.
And it has been a long road for the Historical Society and getting everything together, but it looks like the state money is there, the private money is there, and it looks like you're getting ready to break ground on what will be in a really amazing facility in the Tulsa Arts District.
Yeah, it's the biggest questions I get on a regular basis are, what's it going to look like and when are you breaking ground? And of course, when you're going to open. But, you know, they want to see something happen. And so to be able to share the visual of what it looks like with everyone, and we've put a lot of work into this, and we wanted something to be special, and we wanted something that not just was a pretty building, you know, interesting architecture on its own, but something that really tied to the story of OK Pop.
And I think when you think of popular culture museums around the country, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I.M. Pei, Frank Gehry at MoPOP in Seattle, and there's several other museums, the design of the facility almost is enticing as what's inside the building. And that's very important, I think. And I think most people, observers, have said the look of the building is almost as important as what you have in the building and the stories you're telling in the building. So was that a critical part of the thinking?
Absolutely. You know, we've got this opportunity to really do something special, and you can't talk about creativity, which ultimately that's what pop culture is on these different, you know, forms of pop culture, but you can't talk about creativity and not have an interesting shell, you know, and something that's going to just the building itself. If they have no idea what OK Pop is, the building itself, driving by that building on 244, you know, everybody that drives that's going to see it. And if you live locally, you're going to say, oh, that's the building, you know, that you drive by. And we had to create something that was going to be iconic to get people to come just to see, you know, what's inside.
Now, the interior is yet to be designed, but the exterior is now designed. It's very much on the street. It is steps across from the Kane's Ballroom, a perfect location in many senses. Take us through the process of what you wanted the building to look like for the casual visitor or somebody who's making this a destination.
Yeah, we've been working on this design for a year. I mean, it's been a year of full-time work. And we wanted to create something that really was respectful of a downtown location, you know, was respectful of walkability, would be something that added to the arts district, that would, you know, be a bonus to the arts district. But also we wanted to respect the, you know, that this arts district was the Tulsa warehouse supply district. So you've got brick. We had to have brick, and our brick is going to be in the same size as the brick that the other buildings in the area are made out of. But at the same time, we really wanted to do something special that really we wanted as soon as people saw the building, the storyline is popping out, you know, so we've got glass and it's very accessible on the first, that first floor right at street level. You know, the one great thing about being across from Kane's is there's two reasons Kane's is so important. One is it's artifact number one in OK Pop, because if it's not for Kane's, we're not there. And honestly, if it's not for Kane's and what the people have done with it, especially the Rogers family today, keeping that so vibrant and being one of the top 20 venues of its size in the world, I don't know if OK Pop happens. You know, and that story of Bob Wills and Tulsa, and Bob Wills really helped create Tulsa as a music city, because you have to have fans. And people were going to Canes, 2,000 plus people twice a week for Canes. And that's why you have now nights. It's not unusual to have a sold out show at Canes, Brady, and the BOK Center. So that fan base is critical. But then the other thing that was important is we wanted to do something that was going to attract the 110,000 people that line up down Main Street to go to a concert. You know, if all we need is 25% of those people to come across the street, we're doing good. So we wanted something that complemented Canes, but then also added something special and some energy to that part of the Arts District.
Now, when you say that the Canes is artifact number one, are you going to have partnerships with the Canes Ballroom so that when a visitor comes to OK Pop, they walk across the street and take a look at the ballroom, even if there's no event going on?
Absolutely. We've really launched a great relationship with the Rogers, and I'm one of their biggest fans of what they've done with Canes to keep it, you know, vibrant, to keep it relevant. And they've invested so much in keeping that special, unique quality of Canes and even making it bigger. And we've talked to them about doing special tours, you know, where you might have a opportunity to do a VIP tour of Canes. You know, we'll have a retail OK Pop shop right there on the front, on that street level across the street. So we'll be able to work with them on some cool merchandise and things like that. So we will absolutely be partnering with them, and they're our neighbors. Yeah. We want to help all our neighbors.
Well, the renderings are out now, and so people can get a look at the exterior of the building. It looks like it's going to be a large facility. You're going to have numerous gallery spaces. And I know while that hasn't been finalized, what are the stories you want the museum to tell?
That's a great question, because I think there are probably a million ways to approach the storyline. And we've really taken the attitude of Oklahoma as a crossroads of creativity, where Route 66 crosses Main Street. And you have this idea that creativity can be nurtured and can grow in the local scene, you know, whether it's a music scene or a literary writing scene or a filmmaking scene or whatever the storytelling is, because ultimately that's what pop culture is storytelling. But then also Oklahoma has this unique position of being right in the middle of Route 66. And so for Oklahomans, it's not a foreign thought to get on the road and go to California, or get on the road and go to Chicago, or get on the road and go to New York, or get on the road and go to Nashville. That's part of it. So this kind of this mobility and this idea of local and then taking your creativity to a national and global audience. And that's what we did with the building. We took that concept and we created this idea. The architects came up with this idea of that Oklahoma hard work being grit, and then the show business side being glitz. So we have the brick and the concrete and the black steel that reflects that Oklahoma hard work. You know, labor conquers all is our state model. And that's one of the things we get from creatives in Oklahoma, is that they're just, the hard work is really what helps, you know, get to the top of the music industry or the film industry or Broadway or whatever that form of pop culture it is that they're pursuing. So we wanted the building to reflect that grit and glitz. So that's where we brought in the gold, and that gold, that event space on the second floor that's double high, and we'll be able to have, you know, intimate conversations with actors and directors, or performances by Oklahoma musicians and educational programs. But then also we'll be able to rent that out for banquets, you know, weddings, and all sorts of public community events as well.
So you're thinking of the museum as telling the story of how Oklahoma is an incubator of creativity. And of course, as you well know, most of our talent, even Bob Wills, went to Los Angeles eventually. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, and most of the talent has to go somewhere else. Although you do have some homegrown stories.
Yeah.
And I imagine you're going to tell some homegrown stories.
Absolutely. And but it's, you know, one of the things that's really come up in our story as we've done the research, you know, we're connecting dots, basically, you know, who influences who, and then what causes a person or a group of people to go somewhere else, like Leon Russell, J.J. Kale, Jimmy Markham, Jimmy Carstein, you know, David Teagarden, Jamie Oldecker, all those guys that were part of that scene that went out to California. How does that work? One thing that keeps coming up, though, is this connection with California. And I think a lot of it has to do with Route 66. I think a lot of it has to do exactly. What's interesting that we've discovered, though, we actually did a research trip to Bakersfield. And I don't know if you've ever been to Bakersfield, but it's like a Star Trek episode, you know, where they go to the Wild West planet. And they're in this planet and everything seems familiar, but there's something just not right. You go to Bakersfield and everyone's from Oklahoma. Right. And it's like you're in Enid or Duncan, but yet something's not quite right. And you're in California. And that connection between Oklahoma and California that is even bigger than, you know, the Dust Bowl or the Depression, because a lot of the people came from eastern Oklahoma that was not affected by the Dust Bowl. It was really because of the hard economic times that people were just looking for opportunities. And so we'll tell those stories. And that connection to California is a big one.
Yeah. Of course, it's not just music. It's not just film. It's virtually every side of creative storytelling and creativity and creative making that you're going to be telling. So you're going to be telling literary stories. You're going to be telling all sorts of stories.
Absolutely. And going on that is also the image of Oklahoma. You know, how has Oklahoma been portrayed in literature? Grapes of Wrath. You know, that there was a lot of negativity that came out of that book and subsequent film, you know, that Oklahoma has been dealing with in some ways ever since.
Yeah. My parents grew up here, and I remember when Okies, that was a very derogatory term. It was fighting words for their generation.
Absolutely. And going to Bakersfield, we got the real life stories from the descendants of those people on how they were treated. And it was horrible. I mean, it was absolutely the way the kids were treated in schools, the way the parents were treated. You know, they were living on the sides of the road and basically living in their cars and trying
tent
to get
cities.
Work. Tent cities, whatever they could. And but at the same time that, you know, that kind of oaky phrase now has started to slowly become a badge of honor. And I think part of that is that shared experience and the survivability nature of Oklahomans.
My guest today is Jeff Moore. He's the executive director of the OK Pop Museum, which will be breaking ground this fall, I think. What's do we have a date now?
We're working on a date. Most likely it'll be November. We're working on the date because we want to throw a party. This is an exciting opportunity. And so we're just logistically trying to coordinate people's schedules. But we'll be able to announce that in the not too distant future.
OK Pop has announced their architectural renderings and the vision of the museum yesterday. And he joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Well, beyond the stories you want to tell, you have a wide range of curatorial gifts to the museum that will sort of be the backbone of the collection. You announced one just the other day of Neil Schoen from Journey donating his collections to the museum. What are some of those major artifacts that will be on display in the museum as you envision it today?
That's probably the question I have the most difficulty answering because there's so much. I think what we want to do is really, whatever the story is, whether it's Neil Schoen from Journey, Bob Wills, Patty Page, Mary Kay Place, Ernie Fields, or Leon Russell, what we really want to do is show pieces from their lives and their careers that reiterate this idea of the creative experience. You know, a lot of people were influenced by family life here in Oklahoma. You know, that's one of the things we get from kind of feedback we've gotten in the past from, you know, people like Garth Brooks or Vince Gill, is that they're more interested in the story of a Gene Autry or a Bob Wills than they are their own story. So there's always this cycle of influence that occurs. And that's probably what we're really focusing on, is connecting these dots so that people really don't know that so-and-so influenced someone else. One of the stories that we're really excited about that influenced the building design directly is the relationship that Bob Wills had with Leo Fender. And Leo Fender created, when Fender Guitars released the Stratocaster in 1954, he created a special Strat for Eldon Chamblin from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and brought it to Eldon here in Tulsa in 1954. And all the other Fender Strats at that time were Sunburst, you know, that kind of that typical Strat that Buddy Holly played and that famous look. But they did a special one for Eldon because they knew that Bob Wills and those guys in that band really helped them form as a company. And so they made one that was gold. And the reason we have gold on our building is because of that guitar that was given to Eldon Chamblin at that location in 1954, because it really ties this whole idea back to, you know, this creativity, but then just the way that it has a ripple effect. So that guitar is owned now by the famous guitarist Joe Bonamassa, and we're hoping to have that, be able to have the original on exhibit. The funny thing is, if you look at it now, there's a lot of green in it because the primer for the gold was green, and it's been played so much that it's really more of a green guitar than it is a gold guitar. But that guitar, the silver and the keys and the strings, the white plastic pick guard, the maple neck, and the gold body are colors that will be, you know, represented throughout the design of OK Pop on the exterior and the interior.
It sounds like there was a lot of thinking.
Yeah, I think this comes back to working for Bob Blackburn for a quarter of a century. You know, you want a pretty building, but to me, it's got to have a story. You know, it all has to work together to convey that there's something special about Oklahoma.
Yeah. A lot of pop museums, there'll be a series of permanent displays. Do you anticipate that you'll have some permanent displays, or will it be more a series of, I know some pop museums, it's just a series of long-running revolving displays as they focus on some aspect of their collection. Is that how you envision the museum actually operating once it's open, or have you got to that point?
Yes. I'll just say yes to all of it, because really we want to be very dynamic. I think with technology, we have the opportunity to make the experience change even within one day, or even based on the visitor. So you and I could go to the Pop Museum together and we could walk through, and we come out and you had one experience and I had a completely different experience based on the way, you know, what you were interested in and the way you engage, you know, the exhibit galleries. And so we want it to be very interactive and very creative. It's got to reflect the creativity of these Oklahomans. You know, I mean, one thing we have to do is, I mean, when the very first pop culture icon is Will Rogers and everybody follows after him, and he was at the top of his game, not just the number one film star in the world, but he had a nationally broadcast radio show and a nationally syndicated newspaper column.
He owned all of mass.
Read by hundreds of millions of people.
He owned all of mass media.
Absolutely. He was the first. And maybe there might be an argument that he was the biggest, just because of the, you know, it was before cable and the internet and the uber democratization of pop culture and media. But the reason he was so popular is because he was, you know, he was the absolute consummate professional and at the very top of his game from a creative standpoint. And we've got to pay tribute to those folks. You know, the Bob Wills, the Leon Russells, the Patty Pages, the Will Rogers, even carrying it on to today. Those people set such high standards that we're really, pushing, and we'll open. And then, you know, our immediate thought is, what's next?
Now, one of the things you're talking about, you mentioned the lines outside of the canes. You're planning on drawing on those, and you're changing the way most normal museums operate as far as the view of how the museum operates. How's it going to be different than your average museum?
Well, we're looking at this, and it comes down to location. We're in the Tulsa Arts District, but we're in really the entertainment side of the Tulsa Arts District, you know, being right between Canes and Brady, and with all of the energy and population that's down there, like on a First Friday when you have 6,000 people and not even, you know, square quarter mile maybe, we're really looking at ourselves as an entertainment destination. So we have to have the hours and the, you know, the staff culture, the operation that is more akin to an entertainment attraction so that we can complement what everybody else is doing.
So you open at noon and close at 9 or 10?
Absolutely.
Or maybe even later.
If there's a special event.
Uh-huh. And so really it will be geared towards after hours entertaining, whether it's you're going to a restaurant, we'll go buy OK Pop.
Absolutely. And we've done a lot of reaching out to the public with focus groups. And one thing we've heard from a multitude of folks is they want the ability to, when they go to the Arts District for their entertainment evening, dinner, a concert, an art gallery, they want OK Pop to be part of that. How do we fit a 30-minute visit to OK Pop between dinner and a show at Canes? So we've got to put ourselves into that mindset. We'll have the bus tours. We'll have the school groups. But that's going to be before 5. You know, how do we become something different for those evening hours?
I know when Bob Blackburn was first envisioning this, he really envisioned it as a place where people congregated after work. He also envisioned it, you know, the time he was talking about it, we were just talking about the first vision package of building a convention center, and this was a natural fit for that convention center. Now, things have really changed, and conventions, you know, they don't happen the way they used to, I think, and the amount of convention business out there has changed since 2008, 2010. Do you still envision that as being a strong part of what the attraction of OK Pop?
Absolutely. We've spent a lot of time working with the Tulsa community and working with the Tulsa Historical Society, the Philbrook, the Gilcrease, Booty Guthrie Center, the Bob Dylan Archives people, but then also working with Visit Tulsa and the business community and the tourism community and the Tulsa Film and Music Office, because we want to add value to everything they're doing. Because Philbrook's already bringing people to Tulsa. Gilcrease is already bringing people. Woody Guthrie Center is already bringing people. And what Visit Tulsa does with their film and music projects and, you know, the NCAA tournament at the BOK Center. And, of course, we can't ignore the BOK Center. I mean, Tulsa has to just, it blows me away what they are able to do there. It's unbelievable, the special kind of perfect storm that we have that's brewing in Tulsa. And I hope the entire area, the metro area, Green Country, realizes how special this is, because there are communities around the country that would pay a whole lot of money to have what's going on right now.
You know, it's an arena that doesn't have a professional sports team that is still making money and positively affecting a community. It blows me out of the
water. Yeah, I mean, and for Tulsa to have a sold out show at Canes, Brady, and BOK Center the same night, not just once, but I know there's two or three times in the last 18 months that's happened. That doesn't happen in Oklahoma City. It doesn't happen in other parts of the country. Yeah. That's special, and we need to acknowledge that. And I think it's gonna prove to be a huge payoff and benefit, you know, with the Gathering Place and these other things that are going to be a draw. You know, we want Tulsans and Oklahomans to come to OK Pop because they want to feel proud of who they are. Because OK Pop is really about the creative DNA of Oklahoma. This is not some peripheral storyline. It's not fluff. It really is who we are. But there's a huge marketing opportunity to share this story with the rest of the country and the rest of the world.
I'm going to ask you about with OK Pop, probably opening in late 19 or 2020.
It'll be 2020.
2020. You have the Woody Guthrie Archives, and then you have the announcement that eventually there will be a Bob Dylan Archives Museum also in the Arts District. What does that add for the synergy of the, are we making this into a hub for popular culture, you know, a sort of a destination location?
Yeah, I think that this is such a special opportunity, and what the George Kaiser Family Foundation has done has been so significant and so huge, and it's gotten the attention of fans and the music industry itself. I will say, though, that it's interesting that being the historian and looking at all the work we've done to develop the OK Pop and its location and spending a lot of time staring across the street at Kane's Ballroom, there was late 60s, early 70s, there was a highway that was built that comes within 7 feet of Kane's Ballroom. And in order to build that highway, they tore down a lot of historic structures. They tore down historic structures in Greenwood. That is really sad. There was a meeting somewhere where someone sat in a meeting and said, you're not going to tear down Kane's Ballroom. I think if Kane's Ballroom had been torn down, I think this whole story, we're talking about something else. I might not even be sitting here. We may not be talking about the Woody Guthrie Center. We may not be talking about the Bob Dylan Center. But the fact that Kane's Ballroom is a landmark that has a life that has affected a huge impact on 5 generations of Oklahomans is just one of those stories that you almost can't put a monetary value on that heart and soul. So to go back to your question, I think that's what's special about Tulsa, is there's a heart and a soul. There's an authenticity to this, that this is who we are, that makes the Bob Dylan Center and the Woody Guthrie Center and the Church Studio and the Outsider's House and all these things that people are working on that much more special. And I think it's going to lead to even more interest from the outside world.
Well, we wish you great success with the museum. We look forward to that day that you have the shovels out across from the Kane's Ballroom and are moving soil and building a building here. Is the fundraising for the building complete? Or I know this is a dumb question because a nonprofit is always raising money, but do you have the funding complete for the building at this
point? No, we'll be working on the bond issue that was authorized by the legislature. We'll build the shell. And that'll be that permanent home. And then as we develop programs and exhibits and bring in collections and events, that'll be a constant part of the OK Pop operations.
All right. So for people who want more information about OK Pop, it's okpop.org?
Yes, sir.
All right. Jeff, thanks very much for joining us and congratulations.
Thanks, Rich.
Jeff Moore is the executive director of the proposed OK Pop Museum, which will be constructed across the street from the historic Kane's Ballroom beginning this fall. For more information about the museum and look at the architectural renderings, you can visit okpop.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.